Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the new creation and authority. It all works together. So, this idea of understanding this and authority is huge. It's so important because, you know, we talked about heaven last week, right? So guess what we're talking about today? Hell. Yep, we're going to talk about hell. And we have to understand this. Because I think when we begin to really understand this, it causes us to live different now. And that's what God wants. He wants us to live now for eternity. See that? So, this is very, very important. And when we understand that, it's going to change the way you live. And, you know, I was in my devotion this week, and I was in 1 Kings 13, and you can look at this later. And it talks about the prophet of God, he disobeyed God. And a lion came and killed him on this path, killed him, and he left him for dead with his paws. Because of his disobedience, it says that. So you've heard me talking about authority, right? When, you know, I had someone tell me yesterday, they said people don't want to hear about the government now, and God put them in there. But the Bible says, we've been talking about this, God established all authority. So God put who's in the government there now. That's because that's what you wanted. God gives you what you want. But now think about this. That's going to cause you and I, believers, to have to become more intimate with God and more loving and more concerned with the new creation, because that thing's going down. That system's not going to fly. Are you listening to me? So we have, but see, God put him there because he's raising up his people. And he's calling his people, he's calling you and I to mature more and grow in the love of God more so we can reflect Christ wherever we go, on our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our church, wherever we go, we're to be reflecting Christ and cause people to hunger for Christ. Yep. That's the call of God on your life. Now, remember we talked about obedience and disobedience and authority. Now look, if we disobey God, we don't have authority. See, I've told you, God's given you authority over the devil. But if you disobey God, you don't have authority. You see this? You lose your authority. It says in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But first it says, submit to God. Submit is obedience to God. And then resist the devil. You see, if you don't submit to God first, you have no power to resist the devil. He can come in with his paws and tear your marriage apart and tear your finances apart and destroy your life because you don't want to understand authority. Come on, am I making sense? Am I making sense? But when you obey God, He runs like a scalded dog. But He'll come back. Always. Remember, Jesus was in the wilderness and He was tempted, but He resisted the devil. How did He do it? It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the devil left. You have to be in touch with God's word and speak it over your life and obey it, and the enemy will leave. And this is what we have to understand. We don't understand that. We wonder why our lives are falling apart in this area. It's because we don't have any authority. And I'm up here trying to help us teach this and understand this. You see this? Oh, I'm just helping you see something. You know, you can either want it or not. That's just how it is. We're making choices, right? Every day we make choices. So we're going to look at, let's do our vision first. Who we got back there? Tim? Hey, Tim. Go ahead and stand up. Now, Tim, the scripture reference we're going to use for today is Titus 2:15 and Titus chapter 3, verse 1. So it's verse 15 and the next verse. Okay, he's got it. All right. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity spirit in the bond of peace. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Have we been doing that? We've been doing that, haven't we? Aren't you glad? I want to be in a place where we do that. We're speaking it, we're talking about it, and you can walk right in it. And you can have God's protection over your life. It's like that iron, what do you call that? That iron dome. Have you ever heard of that? That's terminology for, what is it? What's Freddie do? Cyber security. It's an iron dome protection. It's like he was working on a project. My son, he's a cybersecurity guy. He was working on a project that these planes have to be, when they're in war, they can be so close, but there's a spot, a window, where they can't pick up the detection and the bomb can reach them. But he was working on a project to increase that iron dome so that the bomb or whatever shot at them can't connect even in that window. See that? And he told me that. I thought, boy, that's pretty wild. That's kind of like the way God is. God's got an iron dome around you when you're under His authority. Oh. I need me some of that. How about you? I want to understand. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to understand. Because when you understand, it changes things. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your presence today. We ask that You increase our understanding and give us revelation knowledge, Lord, in this area of heaven and hell and the new creation. Lord, we just give You praise and thanks for all You're doing today, and we're going to trust You in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. See, to be ready for every good work. And Ephesians 2:10 says, we've been created in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship. And we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that we should walk in them. Those good works are what you're to be doing now. See that? And God had it planned and taken care of before you even showed up on the planet. Before you were born. When we understand that, we can do those good works. You know what the good works are? Advancing the new creation. Advancing the kingdom of God. You see that? You're the new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You are part of that. You're here now. You're born again. You are to be advancing that wherever you are. See this? Old things passed away. All things have become new. Now, so go with me to Luke chapter 16. We got to get started because I've got a lot to share with you today. Glad you're here. All right. So now, I told you we're going to talk about hell today. So we are. We're going to talk about that. And I want you to pay attention. You have to, if you pay attention, you have to be, if you're going to be intentional, you have to pay attention. If you pay attention, now you can be intentional. You can't be intentional without paying attention. It costs you something. You got to pay. So pay attention. This is huge. But think about this. Now, I was thinking about, as I studied this week, and how I wanted to present this, but I was thinking about it, and I thought I started to look at the context of what I was going to talk about. And in chapter 15 of Luke's gospel, it talks about three things that were lost. It talks about the lost sheep, talks about the lost coin, talks about the lost son. Now, think about this. Jesus began teaching, and he was teaching the religious people, the Pharisees. And that's who he's teaching in this scripture, in Luke 14, 15, and 16. Now think about this. But now the Pharisees, they looked like they had it all together. They had the appearance of having it all together. You know, they had the new car, and they were going to church every week. Sometimes twice a week, three times a week. They go to church. Got the new car and the house. Big house. All that, they're going. Look at them, man. Those people got it together. That was the Pharisees. And that's what Jesus is teaching. Now listen. Now, but when Jesus began to talk to the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the sinners, they got mad. They got upset. Because Jesus was hanging out with the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and the sinners. What? And Jesus was welcoming the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and the sinners. I'm going to tell you something. I got to stop here just for a moment. Everything is welcome in this place. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you've done. You are welcome here. You understand what I'm saying? I've picked up many people, many times, gone to the prison, picked them up, and brought them. Been the one to pick them up the first day they get out, and I'll help them. You understand? If you ever think you're better than anybody, you've got a major problem. You hear what I'm saying? We're all on the same level when it comes to the cross. Every one of us. We're all sinners saved by grace, right? But now, actually, you're not even called a sinner. You still sin, but you're not called a sinner. You're called a saint. So you do have the saints and the ain'ts. But that doesn't mean you're not going to hang out with sinners. You can hang out with a sinner when you mature a little bit. Some people can't hang out with sinners because their stuff gets on them, and then they go back to what they used to do, and that's not what you don't want that either. Just had to throw that in there. So think about this. The Pharisees got upset. Now look at this. Jesus began to teach the parable of the lost sheep. And what happens there is One sheep gets lost, and he leaves the 99 to find the one. What Jesus is teaching is his love for the lost, the people who are lost. And then the woman has 10 coins, and she loses one. And so they go on this search for this coin, and she finds it, and she's excited. And Jesus says, you see her joy? That's the way it is when one sinner repents and comes to Christ. You see that? Joy. It's a joy when they're found, when the lost is found. And then, remember, the word lost means to be out of alignment and out of position. So when you're lost, you're out of alignment with God, and you're out of the position He created you for. So that's why Jesus is teaching on this. Now, think about this. It's the lost son, the prodigal son. And so now, this young son wants all of his inheritance before his father dies, or before, you know. So he wants everything his father has set aside for him. Give it to me now. I want it now. So he takes it, and he goes and squanders it on riotous living. The word riotous means immoral. So he was hanging out with prostitutes. Everything your flesh wanted, that's where he was. He was all wallering in it. Then he ended up in a pig pen, eating with the pigs. And the Bible says he came to himself and said, I want to go back to my father's house. You see that? That's a picture of a son that was lost, and now he's found. Now, this is God's heart to love and rescue lost sinners. Person, the reason for teaching these parables on the lost, listen to me. The reason you are not concerned, he's telling the Pharisees, the reason you are not concerned for what is lost, it's because you love money. You love money more than you have a heart for what I long for, helping lost people get saved. You love money more. That's what he's saying. As he starts chapter 16 with the unjust servant, and he mishandled his money. He was bezzling money. He was not handling his money well. But now look, Jesus is letting them know their love for money is keeping them from having the heart of God for lost people. You know, yesterday we went to up in, was it WAPOC? Was the Revive Outreach? Jackson Center. Yeah, Jackson Center. I always get those mixed up. I don't know why. Jackson Center, and so they had the outreach. 27 people showed up. Their five teams went out, and they had all kinds of people prayed for, and two people confessed Christ for the first time, and two people requested being discipled. We're going to keep that up. We're not going to quit that. We're going to be a part of that. You know, I've seen people get saved this week, prayed with people to get saved. That's the way we live. Wherever you go, you should be ready to help someone come to Christ. It doesn't matter where you're at, right? That's the way we ought to just live our life, period. Because there's people who are lost, and they're hurting, and they're out of their position God created them for. Now look, so he gives this parable about this guy who's dishonest steward. But even this dishonored steward ends up finding out that he can use his resources to help people into the kingdom. He discovers that. But now look. Now we're going to get into this story. And this, look how he gave all those lost people, lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. Now he talks about the steward mishandling his money. This is all in context. Everybody say context. You got to read things in context. You know, we text now. A lot of that texting is not in context. Well, I got my foot going now. So now look. So think about this. You got to read it in context. So now he think. Okay. So now he's talking to this man in this parable in Luke 16. And give me that reference, if you would. There we go. 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Hades is a word for hell. And we're going to talk about that. Okay? Now watch. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Now watch. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf, a great chasm fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. So once you're in,
boy,
you're in. So, think about this. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. So, you know, there's a teaching that there's a holding place. And so you can make a decision, or actually people can pray you out of that. And it doesn't even exist. You want me to say it? Purgatory. I'm going to get some mail now. No such thing. That doesn't even exist. Oh, here we go. But now think about this. So once, you know, when you're someone in your family dies and you know they were a believer, there's confession to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. They are in heaven. But that's not the heaven. That's not the new heaven and the new earth. That's an intermediate heaven. See that? And this Hades is an intermediate hell. Okay? I got to keep moving. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now, he gives this parable about this guy, the dishonest steward, in the beginning of this chapter. But now he goes into this, where this rich man goes to heaven, or goes to hell, Hades, and this beggar is in heaven. Lazarus. You know what? Think about this. People have this misconception that people that possess a lot are blessed by God. And that was the same thing was going on then. And that's why Jesus is teaching this. Because the Pharisees had a lot of stuff. They had it all. They had it going on, the way they dressed, all that. You know, Gucci and all that stuff. I don't know those fancy names, but I'd say them. Maybe I know a couple of them. But think about this. That doesn't mean anything. See, people will look, oh man, they're blessed. You know, the word blessed has nothing to do with what you possess. Nothing. You know what it means? An internal reality. An internal reality. Internal. So in other words, you have peace. You have real joy. You have kindness. See that? That's a blessed person. They're blessed. You can treat me like a dog, but I got some love for you. That's a blessed person. I have peace in the middle of all this conflict. That's a blessed person right there. You see that? And that's what he wants you to reflect wherever you go. That's this new creation. You're bringing that here now. Now watch this. The rich man says, he says, send this message to my brothers. He doesn't say, you know, can you get me out of here? Can you help me? He still didn't want the presence of God. Listen, people think because you have a lot, you're blessed. We got to get rid of that. Get rid of that. That doesn't say one thing. I know people that have everything, but they don't have anything. I know very wealthy people. I've met very wealthy. I've been with very wealthy people. And they don't have nothing. I look at what I got. Give me Jesus. Are you with me? I tell you, if you got a woman that loves you and a man that loves a woman, you got a little bit of paradise. But you see, you got to love Jesus first. I love Jesus. When we got, Donnie and I got married, I loved Jesus first. And she loved Jesus first. You get those two together, you got something. Powerful. Am I making sense? You got a paradise. That's huge. Now look at this. The kingdom is here now. That's what it says in Luke. Kingdom is not over there, it's here now. It's in you. The people who are believers. And we are to express that and share that wherever we go. The goal for the believer is that you can begin living now for eternity.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.